Oh, to be young and strong again. You can see what a blessing VBS was this week. We had workers working like bees all over the place. Miss Lisa got it started by ordering all literature and getting the teachers all organized and in place and the kitchen and the recreation, all that. And then James and Jessica came in and did an amazing job of commanding the VBS. And as you can see, we learned some beautiful, beautiful songs. And they're praise songs, worshiping our Savior. And all week long, it was about encountering Jesus. And they used different stories in the Bible to talk about how people encountered Jesus. And so somewhere along last week, Lisa or Larry, one or the other, asked me if I would take a break in my normal study and kind of make this an adult version of one of the Bible school classes by taking one of those encounters and expounding on it. And so I chose their Wednesday encounter. And their Wednesday encounter came from Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to be looking at verses 22 through 33. I think you'll recognize the story. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst, in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a spirit?" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Jesus obviously sent his disciples into a problem. Verse 22 says he constrained them to get into the boat and go. Now, these were men of the sea. They could see that a storm was brewing. And nevertheless, Jesus said, "Go." Now, why did Jesus send them into a storm? I'll tell you why. He wanted to teach them something. And he wants to teach you and I something as well. The disciples literally were nearly shipwrecked. They thought they were goners. And it's about that time that Jesus came walking on the water. And this has tremendous significance for us today, because eventually we're going to find ourselves in some precarious problems. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is the problem that they faced. It was a tremendous storm. I don't think print really conveys what a big storm this was. But in verse 24 and 25, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, first of all, they're in the midst of the sea. The Sea of Galilee is about 10 miles across at its widest point. So we can assume that the ship was about 5 miles out onto the water, 5 miles from either shore. They're smack dab in the middle of a problem. Are you in the middle of a problem? Not only are they in the middle of a problem, but it says that the wind was contrary. Their backs are to the oars. But it seems that for every foot they go forward, they slip 2 feet backwards. Does it seem like you're not making any progress in your problem? Well, pay attention. Not only are they in the midst of their problem, not only is everything against them, but it was the fourth watch of the night. That means it's the darkest hour of the night. They could probably not even see their hand in front of their faces, let alone see the shoreline. They had a threefold problem here. There was the distance from the shore, there was the direction of the wind, and there was the darkness of the night. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'm not in any kind of problem. Well, just wait. You will be. I promise. You will be. And it might be a big problem. And not only is there the problem of the storm, but there's also the performance of the Savior. In that storm, Jesus came walking on the water. And in verses 25 through 27, it says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. They don't know if it's Jesus until they hear him say, be of good cheer, it's I, be not. This is probably my favorite part of this message. If you were able to see how this was written in the original language, it says, be of good cheer, I am. Be not afraid. And when Jesus used the name I am, he used the highest name for deity that the Jews knew anything about. You remember when the Lord called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt? Moses was before the burning bush, and God told him to go speak to Pharaoh. And he says, tell him, let my people go. And Moses said, look, I'm a nobody. I can't even speak well. I stutter, I stammer. Who am I going to say sent me? And God said, you just tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. Now, when Jesus came walking on the water, he said to them, I am. Now, that's a declaration of his deity. It's a proclamation of his presence, and it's an announcement of his abundance. He was saying, I'm in charge here. I was in existence before this mud puddle you call a sea was even a vapor. Don't you worry about this so-called storm. I am. Now, not only was it a declaration of his deity, it was a proclamation of his presence. He didn't say, I'm going to be. He didn't say, I was. He said, I am. He is always present. Just as he's present today with you. It's just like he was present with them back then. He's the one who said, I am with you always. And this was also an announcement of his abundance. You see, the phrase I am is an unfinished sentence. I am what? Oh, I'm whatever you need. As a matter of fact, Jesus is what you need. He's just everything we need. And Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not only is Jesus necessary, Jesus is enough. Just think of this. To the artist, he's altogether lovely. To the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To the banker, he's the hidden treasure. To the baker, he's the living bread. To the biologist, he's the life. To the builder, he's the sure foundation. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To the educator, he's the great teacher to the farmer. He's the Lord of the harvest to the florist. He's the rose of Sharon to the geologist. He's the rock of ages to the jurist. He is the righteous judge to the jeweler. He's the pearl of great price to the lawyer. He's the advocate to the publisher. He's great tidings of joy to the philosopher. He's the wisdom of God to the preacher. He's the word of God to the sculptor. He's the living stone to the statesman. He's the desire of all the nations to the theologian. He's the author and finisher of our faith to the traveler. He's the way to the sinner. He's the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Folks, he is I am. There's the problem of the storm. There is the performance of the Savior. But now I want you to see the program for the saints. When you're in the middle of the storm and your boat's about to sink and the winds are contrary to you and the night is dark, what are you going to do? You know, the Lord wasn't walking on the water that night just to show off. He's trying to teach you and I what to do in the midst of our problem. First of all, you need to get a vision of Jesus Christ. Verse 26 says, they saw him walking on the sea. Now, when you have a problem, you need to spend enough time with God and be in the Word of God and be in prayer to God so that you can have the vision that they had. You need to see that Jesus can walk on your problem too. Now, if you don't hear anything else I say today, I want you to think about this next line. What the disciples saw that day as fixing to be over their head was already under Jesus' feet. Think about that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and has, listen, has put all things where? Under his feet, and gave himself to be head over all things to the church. As a Christian, you are the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head. And when the head's above water, you can't drown. Jesus had these disciples in a storm to teach them that. No matter what your problem is, Jesus is greater than your storm. Step number one is to see Jesus. He's already the conqueror. And Jesus says in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And not only do you need to see Jesus in your storm, you need to hear Jesus in your storm. In Matthew 14, verse 28 and 29, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, then bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, come on. I'm glad Peter didn't step out until he heard Jesus say, come. Because according to Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a heresy being taught by a lot of these joy boys on TV. They're saying, God wants to supply all your needs. Well, that's true. And they say, God is able to supply all your needs. That's true, too. And then they say, you can get what you need by faith. So far, so good. But then they say, name what you want and claim it. Wrong! You're never going to claim anything until God names it. Faith is your response to God's word, not God's response to your word. You don't go around just jumping out of any old boat. If you do, you're going to the bottom. I mean, if you think it, you'll sink it. You not only need to see Jesus, you need to be quiet and hear Jesus. And whatsoever, this is what his mom said to the people at the wedding, so whatsoever he saith to you, do it. God will not sustain you in any venture that he hasn't ordered. But where God leads, God provides. Get your eyes on Jesus. See that he already has the victory. Get quiet and listen for his direction. But then number three, not only you need to see him and hear him, you need to obey him. Verse 29, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, some of you, you'll see Jesus and you'll hear Jesus, but you don't obey Jesus. Learn this. The difference between faith and belief is obedience. Faith is belief with legs on it. When Jesus says, come, get out of the boat. Faith is committing yourself to the waves just because Jesus says to. Now, Peter, he really wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the word. Jesus told him to do it. The word isn't something just to be explained. It's to be believed. Leonard Ravenhill, great preacher from days gone by, he said, one of these days, somebody's going to read the Bible and believe it, and the rest of us are going to be ashamed. We need to start walking on the word. We need to start obeying the word of the Lord. And the problem is we lack the comparative safety of the boat. So we don't get outside the boat. Churches don't do what God wants them to do because people get used to the relative safety of tradition. They don't walk with Jesus on unfamiliar ground. But we need to obey Jesus. And when we do, here comes the next thing, we need to prove Jesus. Now, Peter's proven Jesus by walking on the water, but look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. You say, well, here you are, preacher, trying to get me out of the boat, but look what happened to Peter. You know, that's right. I wish I didn't have to read verse 30 to you. It was just terrible at Peter's funeral after he drowned that day. Jesus said, you know, it's a shame Peter had to die so young. I should have never told him to get out of the boat. John says, I should have grabbed him and pulled him back in, stopped him. It was a sad day at Peter's funeral. You say, Peter didn't die. Exactly! And you won't either. Peter may not have walked very far on the water, but he's walked farther than you've ever walked. Let me tell you something. It's safer on the water with the boisterous waves than it is back in the boat without Jesus. Yes, Peter faltered. He faltered because he put his eyes on his circumstances rather than on Jesus. I mean, he's out there dancing on the waves, and he's thinking he's something. He said, "This is wonderful." And then a wave slaps him in the face, and he said, "This is impossible." And he starts to sink, but he didn't drown. Listen, Lord's not going to lead you out on a limb and then cut it off behind you. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24, says, "Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." Why? "Because the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." I don't know how Peter got back in that ship. I just know he did. The Bible says, "And when they were come into the ship," either Peter walked back or he came back in the arms of Jesus. Either way, ain't so bad. Look at verses 31 and 33. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." They already believed he was the Son of God. Now they know he's the Son of God. See Jesus, hear Jesus, obey Jesus, prove Jesus, and then worship Jesus. Why did Jesus allow all this to happen? He wanted them to know that he was sufficient, and he wanted them to worship him. If I never had a problem, I'd never know Jesus could solve it. The storm that they thought was so bad was the storm that brought Jesus to them, right? Your storm is nothing less than a superhighway that brings Jesus to you. That storm caused them to worship Jesus, not just intellectually like they had been, but now in reality, because they knew that he was the Son of God. See, this wasn't just a sermon in a notebook. This was a sermon that caused them to say, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now they know from experience that he is able. It's been proven to them. God allows us to have storms. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Your problem today might be a sick child. Your problem today might be a bad report from the doctor's office. Your problem today might be a pink slip at your workplace. Your problem today may be a husband or a wife that doesn't believe. I don't know what your problem is, but just remember that whatever it is, whatever seems like it's going to be over your head, is already under Jesus' feet. Amen? Now, I think probably most of you here believe that intellectually. I wonder how many of you believe it in reality. I'm going to have our musicians come. We're going to have a time of invitation, just a short one. Has something stirred in your heart today because of the Word of God? It makes you realize that you may have believed in Jesus intellectually, but you haven't ever believed in him in reality. You haven't realized that he's already overcome every problem that there is.
He can be your everything today if you'll just let him. What are we going to sing, Gary?
409.
409. Let's stand. Don't bother anybody around you. Don't talk. No moving. Just concentrate on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him what he wants you to do right now. And then be obedient. Be obedient. You come as we sing.
Father, we thank you so much for the sermon this morning. Thank you for our pastor who is always faithful to bring the word, always scriptures and always truth. And we thank you for that. Help us to learn to live by your word, Lord. Help us to learn to trust you in the storms. And when it's the hardest time to trust you is when we know that you like our faith that we're having in you, and help us to do that. Lord, be with our children once again. Bless them. Be with our new children's ministry. Bless them as they go out and follow up with parents. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us to know what you want us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join our hands and be dismissed.
We are one.